Sometimes we asked ourselves, well, when someone asks you to bless someone, what do you actually do? Like I'm asking you now to bless the marriage of Tulsi and, it's not the marriage, the engagement of Tulsi and Nam Ras. Have you ever asked yourself, what do you do when you bless someone? Do you just say Hari Bol or... Have you ever been in that situation where someone asked you, can you bless me? And you just, bless. Should I? you're not sure if you should do like that. If you want to bless someone, what you do is you go deep into your heart to the place where you can actually feel well wishes for them. And then you just pray to Krishna, oh my dear Lord, please take care that this young couple is nicely protected and moves forward on their spiritual path. And it is these sincere good wishes which have a profound effect, but it needs to come from a deep place within. You all can bless others, and during our yesterday's Japa and Kirtan retreat, I asked you to, at the end, get into the mood of the verse where Prahlad Maharaj prays for universal blessings. He says, may there be good fortune throughout the world, and may all of those who are in bad moods against each other, may they become reconciled. That means in German language, versöhnt, mögen sie versöhnt werden. May they become full of good wishes for each other. So, you know, I feel very connected to the family of Kripa Maya. So I asked you to just for a minute sit down. You're sitting already, sit tall, and then just for a short minute I will have my orchestra for you. You know, there's two young devotees. They will go now together and they will aim towards a sacred marriage. And so you just go deep into your place, in the heart place, and just whatever good desires you can feel, their good wishes, you just send them to America. Okay, we start now. Okay, Hare Krishna. This is a very simple form of blessing, but it works wonders. There have been statistical investigations, and they have seen that when there are people praying for others in need, these people who are prayed for, or these people for whom others are praying, they have a tremendous benefit in their lives. So I want to now open the forum for any of your questions. There is one question, Pujarini, and I saw Hedi, no. Radha Nandini, and from Hong Kong, our devotee. It's so nice to see a Hong Kong devotee. Yes, let me. So Devi is also there. Let me see amongst men. Yes, there is one man. There are a lot of Matajis today. There's another man. Okay. So, Pujarini. The question is, since Krishna is with us through all our struggles, all along the way, could we ask him to speed up the process? There's a very amazing answer to this question given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He, in one of his songs, it's the introductory song of his prayer collection, Sharanagati, he asked the question, whose prayer does Krishna hear? Now you might think, everybody, he has his, he's definitely capable to hear everyone's prayer, but the English word, whose prayer does Krishna hear, carries another meaning. It doesn't just mean the auditory function, the ability to hear sound. It means something to hear and then answer. In German we say, wessen Gebete erhört Krishna. Erhört means he will respond, he will hear and respond. So in this way we say also in English, whose prayer does Krishna hear and respond to? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Krishna answers the questions, the prayers of someone who practices surrender according to the sixfold means, you know, to accept everything what is favorable and to reject everything which is unfavorable and to just give your hands, give your life in Krishna's hands. So now when someone does this Pujarini, when someone surrenders to Krishna, at that time, and then prays to Krishna, then everything goes very fast. In other words, the speeding up process which you are asking for is always a combination of your own willingness and your own surrender and Krishna's response to it. It takes two on the process of surrender. You or speeding up, you and Krishna. If you just say, I will remain attached, but could you please speed it up, you know, it won't work. You have to give up the unfavorable and accept the favorable, and then it goes, and Krishna listens to your prayers. Thank you. Radha Nandini, what is your question, please? When you chant, you water the heart, and also the weeds can get water and grow. How do we water the right things? It's like this. It is described that when a devotee chants Namabhasa, that means he's still... If a devotee chants on the level of Namaparad, that means he continues to make offenses, at that time the weeds get strength, not his bhakti. When an offensive a devotee who intentionally commits offenses, he will sprinkle water on his on this material desires, and they will become stronger. So how do you take care that the water goes to the right plants, the bhakti? In a purport of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada says that a devotee must carefully distinguish between the material plans, plans for unacceptable activities, plans for diplomacy, for his own puja, worship, and so on, and the pure plans. When you chant, you should really make it a time, Radha Nandini, where you say, okay, I still have so many material desires, I still am a conditioned soul, but now I will use my time of chanting to be together with Krishna. It's my meeting with Krishna. I will in this area of chanting, I will just take care of the only relationship to Krishna. And at that time, where you sincerely try to connect with Krishna and pay attention to Krishna, you automatically move away from the terrible world of offenses, the aparadhas. And then you have to distinguish. Here is my material part. Yes, I have material desires. Yeah, but when I'm chanting, I don't want to pursue them. And even if you have some material desires, the way you deal with it is in devotional way. You like a drunkard who still drinks alcohol, but he knows it's not good. You know, he knows. And while he drinks, he says, Oh no, this is not the right thing. You shouldn't be a pretender. You should say, I'm still a little weak. I have these material desires. Oh, Krishna. And so on. And then Krishna will see what you really want. And he will forgive if you are still a little weak. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam where it said, my devotee knows that material sense gratification doesn't bring any auspicious result, but out of weakness he just cannot leave it. So what should my devotees do? He should be happy and continue to hear about me. This we will do. We will take some medicine. Yes. And then after some time, you only want Krishna. Good. Others? There were others. I may forget. Yes, our Nora. Please speak in your Hong Kong English. Yes. Yes, it is effect when you chant, you clean the mind and a lot comes up. Some things are not so good, but there are also some things which are good. Now, what to do with the things which are favorable? Nora, I would like to recommend you to purchase one of these very useful things, a notebook. So when you have, yes. So when some good thoughts are coming up, you just write them down. Because if you don't write them down, you always, I have to remember this. This is so good, you know. And the Hare Krishna, this is so good. Krishna, oh, but this is good. I hope I won't forget it, you know. You try to hold it in your mind. So write it in your notebook. Yeah. Yes. You have already one. Very good. You take a pen and then you write it down like this. Then it's committed to paper and you can forget about it while you chant, and later you go to your creativity list. When I was a young devotee, I had this situation that I'm still extremely creative, but when I was a young devotee, I think Krishna Chetraprabhu was the one who gave me that notebook tip, and then I remember that after one japa session, I had like 4 pages of notes. You know, it was. Now it's not so much any longer. Hare Krishna, how sympathetic, yes. Hare Krishna. Once it's on the paper, you can forget it and look at it later. You can forget it during the japa session when you want to concentrate. But even these so-called favorable thoughts are not to be entertained when you are doing japa. It's your time with Krishna. You have to focus on Krishna. Yes? Hare Krishna. Sudevi. So what is about fixing the goal, the sadhya, while we chant? The idea about sadhya is that you should have a general idea where you are going. It's compared in an analogy of the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam says the mantra is the bow, the pure living entity is the arrow, and the lotus feet of the Lord are the goal. Anyone who knows about arrow shooting knows, or bow shooting, you have to put the bow in the right direction. I hope I don't hit anyone in the back. Be careful, soon the arrow will come. And then it comes. But only when you have it in the right direction will it go to the goal. So in your life, you should know, am I a Shiva Bhakta or a Krishna Bhakta? Am I heading towards, what is the Lord of my heart? It's called an Ishta Devata. But when you chant, mostly you are just mindful of the goal. It's there. I could give you another example. Do you have these navigators in Belgium? You type in the street you want to go, and then the car goes and says left, right, stop, fly. It gives you instructions what to do. So in the same way, you have to program yourself where you wish to go, and then your efforts will go in the right direction. For instance, it's very important to know I'm doing all of what I do for service, not serving my own fame, name and glory, name, fame and glory, but it's something I want to offer to Krishna. It's something to be mindful of and something to connect to. But there are times, I often get this, devotees asked, but Maharaj, we can only think of one thing. Should we now chant or should we think of Krishna? Chant and think of Krishna is not possible. That is usually, we are like this. I don't know. I'm like this also, Let's be simple, It's something you chant for Krishna. Like, I can't explain it in a better way than the meaning of the mantra is, my dear Radha, my dear Krishna, please engage me in your service. It will come together. The chanting and the focus on chanting, and then the prayer to Radha and Krishna. It's, you know, it's when devotees chant, they say Hari, and they know this is Radharani. They say Krishna, this is Krishna. When they say Hari Krishna, it's Radha and Krishna together. Then they say again, Hare Krishna, it's Radha and Krishna together. Then it's Krishna, Krishna. My God, this is only Krishna without Radha. And then it's Hare, Hare, that's only Radha. No Krishna at that moment. Then, again, Hare Rama, Radha and Krishna. Hare Rama, Radha and Krishna. Rama, Rama, my God, no Radha. Hare, Hare, only Krishna. Only Radha. No. Therefore, this mantra is called a Yugal mantra. Yuga means the divine couple are sometimes together in union and sometimes in separation. That's how the relationship moves. Now, if this is too complicated, it's very important for me to say, my dear devotees, the Hare Krishna mantra is so rich. There are so many pastimes in this, and great souls can see it. But we certainly approach it in a very simple way. My dear Radha, my dear Krishna, please engage me in your service. That's how you think. And then we chant, for instance, I have this one tape where one devotee is very disturbed and goes to Prabhupada, and for a solution, Prabhupada says, you go to the deities and chant for them. Fix your eyes on the deities. Then the devotee says, but then the temple commander will come and he will engage me in service. Prabhupada says, no, if he comes, you tell him, Prabhupada said you should chant before the deities. That's your service. You should, in other words, you should connect to Krishna. It's our Prabhupada also says it's a prayer. Prayer means an address, a question, and so on. Krishna, I'm always feeling on the hot seat when someone asks me this. I don't know why. Hare Krishna. First go to the... Yes, Prabhuji, your good name, please. Sulab. Yes, Sulab Prabhu.
Yeah. So we discussed chanting on the beat, which is probably 2 hours or those 24 hours.
Yeah.
We engage ourselves for the rest of the day. Or once we have routine the 2 hours, the rest of the day will get
fine. See, devotional service is a journey, and we have someone who advises us. Our spiritual master who sees when we are fit for what activity. The goal of the essence of all advice is that ultimately when we get natural taste, our main service is chanting and remembering Krishna's pastimes and so on. But before we have that taste, we chant 16 rounds, no less than 16 rounds. Prabhupada, I've done a study of his books. He says the goal is to chant 24 hours a day. Sulab, you must understand that we are now living a life separated from Krishna, and our taste for Krishna is slowly awakening by the processes of devotional service. So at this moment, we are not having so much taste, but when someone has total taste, he only wants to be together with Krishna. And that is done through Shravan and Kirtan. It's like when you first fell in love with your wife, You only wanted to be together with her. You didn't look at the time passing. You know, there was nothing else. Not even TV, you know. That is, so if you fall in love with Krishna, then you only want to be together with Krishna. While you chant on that level, you actually are together with Krishna, whom you actually perceive as being identical with his name. You can actually see that. That's the goal. But we will approach it slowly. Let us first work on trying to get rid of the offenses, you know, and let us sit in the... Tomorrow, is it tomorrow or the day after tomorrow? We sit in the kirtan for maximum amount of time. We invite you to be with us and we will jump start your spiritual life with a little pushing, and after some time, you start to go, yes. Good. There was another boy. This is an elderly gentleman. Ramananda Roy, please ask your question. Yes. Yes, that is Bhaktivinoda Thakur says we should not be preoccupied with rhythm, melody, and speed. But we should engage in kirtan according to our spontaneous awakening of devotional feelings. That's a very interesting point. Sometimes that's good for kirtaniyas. If you immediately do all these fancy rhythms and the bedanga, 50,000 beats in 2 seconds, you know, that diverts the mind away from the kirtan. I was asking Narugopal Prabhu. He's something like a Vaishnav scholar in Sridhar Mayapur. He went to the Gurukul of Mayapur, Bhaktivedya Purna Maharaj, and now is serving in the organizing of the whole project. And I asked him, "How are there any instructions about kirtan?" And he said, "Yes, in the old times, listen to this, I was really surprised. Devotees would first sit and sing very slow melodies in order to just have the arising of emotions. Because the moment when you are so fast in the beginning, some kirtans are so fast that because I'm an old man now, it just doesn't work with the tongue so any longer, you know. You can't offer devotion, you know. I think it's clear when you say, "I love you." You would say, "I love you," you know. It's something, it takes a little time to, you know, not so fast. So in the beginning, He says, and he offers the example of Keturi Gram, where Narottam sang the kirtans. They had these very long kirtan. Those who are kirtan lovers, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invested his shakti to spread love of Godhead in Narottam Das Thakur. And in typical Narottam Das Thakur, I will sing for you. He would sing a song like Nitai Pada Kamala, like this. Nitai Pada Kamala. Whereas the other style would go, Nitai Pada Kamala, di-di-di-di-di-di-di. Yes. So the actual style for kirtan, according to Narottam Das Thakur, who has the chakti of Mahaprabhu is long drawn out. Sanatan Goswami also mentions in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, one should go to holy places and there sing in long drawn out voices. Slow, in other words, the names of the Lord. Then, as devotees get into the mood of the kirtan, there will be an arisal of spontaneous emotions, and then ecstatic dancing is required. No? Then, but it is carried. This ecstatic dancing is required. Is carried by emotions, not by taal. By rhythm, like have you studied worldly music? There are this hardcore music, so brittle, you know, so fast. It's not like this in kirtan. Because it's not a passionate endeavor, we want to come to genuine devotional feelings and genuine devotional expressions. And then it should pick up, and then the ecstasy of the heart should be manifested in elegant dancing for the pleasure of the Lord. This is how the Gauranga Mahaprabhu's kirtans should go. Thank you very much. I always felt like that. But I didn't know if I was speculating. And then I heard from one Vaishnav scholar who had studied this subject and heard the examples and proofs and so. There was one question is left. Banu Nandini, please ask your question. Yeah.
I need to be there for my family. And I try to answer by giving the example Shabbat Vinod from his prayers from Sharanagati, where he says, now that I have surrendered my family to you, O Lord, I stand as your servant, and I will continue to serve your devotees, or I will, you know, like earn money for this household, but this will be my service.
I will say it a little bit sharp. This is the last question, then we come to the Krishna Katha. If I do too much spiritual practice, I might become too detached. This would be, theologically speaking, the Gyan perspective, not the Bhakti perspective. It's true. When you develop more Gyan on the Gyana Marga, that is the path of knowledge, you do become detached from this world and you leave the world as something which is false behind eventually. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's parents, when they saw that their elder boy, Vishwarupa, had taken sannyas, they said, this is the result of developing knowledge, so therefore our son Nimai should not study any longer. They forbade him to study. This is the Gyan perspective, but we are Bhaktas, when we develop more devotional knowledge and more devotional feelings, it does not mean to kill the finer sentiments like affection for those who are near and dear us. It does not mean this. It means we should do Vaishnav Seva. We should be mindful of the Vaishnavas next to us and even do Jiva Daya, that is merciful activities for fallen souls. I think that was the old misunderstanding Yes, that sometime I remember there was a Swiss movie maker, very good movie maker, someone like the Swiss Steven Spielberg, and he made a movie of the devotees. And what he did is he very subtly, it was in the old time, he showed a father chanting up and down, and his baby was crying lying on the stairs. And with the shot, it was a long shot, he wanted to show the Hare Krishnas don't care for family, they just care for their own advancement. That was a good movie, and it captured some of the old misunderstanding. The movie had very nice scenes about devotees, but this scene was also there. No, when the child cries, the father sees and the mother sees, we brought a child into this world to educate, to make him a devotee. Now he is in the small baby form. He needs the affection like anything, more than food. And we made that commitment. That is what Grihastha Ashram meant. That is what we intended to do when we conceived a child. We understood we have the responsibility to bring him up with affection. And then we do that in our devotional service. So I want to say it's a misconception if you kill the finer sentiments. That is not what you do in devotional service that makes your friendships and your parenthood and your good relationships different from worldly good relationships is you put Krishna in the center. Huh? That's an additional point. So for that wonderful mother, good advice would be, yeah, chant when the child is still resting and doesn't need the mother, or when the child is well engaged in play. Actually, I'm not so. I don't know if they are ever well engaged. They are. I think there must be moments where they are totally busy, and then you have your time. But when the child needs you, you should be there. Good. I want to close the question and answer session now, because some of you are getting already. When is it starting? The Krishna Katha. It's starting now. Oh, this is the best now. This is